box, office, refund, box office refund podcast.
Hello and welcome to this episode of Box Office Refund podcast, where we review low rated movies and ask, did the critics get it right or were they too harsh? This is our B-side episode, where instead of reviewing one movie that we have both watched, we talk about what we've watched during the week. I am your host, Nico Bell, and with me, as always, is my co-host, Ward. Ward, how are you?
I'm doing great. I did not watch an Adam Sandler movie this week, so definite improvement from last week.
You know,
week.
There's been so many Adam Sandler movies on TV recently. Like, I watched parts of Happy Gilmore and parts of The Waterboy, and I actually thoroughly enjoyed them, because it does bring me back to, like, when I was younger.
Well, that, and they're just better movies anyway. But I was telling a friend I watched the week of, I said, yeah, it's the worst Netflix Adam Sandler movie. It's worse than The Ridiculous Six. He said, there's no way it's worse than The Ridiculous Six. You and I both saw that movie. There's no way it's worse. It's worse.
I have not seen Ridiculous Six, but I will not watch it. I will not watch any Adam Sandler movies on Netflix ever again. It spoiled me forever.
But at this point, if you watch another one, it's going to be better than what you've already seen, so you'd be trending in the right direction.
I don't know. Man, that movie has really scarred me. I was watching some movies this week, and that was the standard. I was like, is this better? Or is this worse? I don't know. Like, that really has become the threshold for movies. So, I don't know. I don't think I can handle any more Adam Sandler Netflix movies for quite some time.
Well, and for our listeners that might be jumping in right in the middle, we watched the week of last week. That's why we're still talking about it.
Yes. It's haunting me.
Our recommendation?
Don't
even go near it.
The critics were right. It's awful. I mean, there were some people who liked it, but I think they might be delusional, so they should get some help for that, because it was the worst movie I've ever seen in so long.
I thought the critics were too nice. They were way too nice. I mean, it was only rated like, what, three or four? That's way
that
too
That really
high for
that
is. Movie.
I mean, I think just Adam Sandler, they gave Adam Sandler a boost. I was going to say, his nephew is in that movie, and I saw some movie this week where his nephew was in it again, and it must have been another. Oh, I watched part of Could Not Get Through. Father of the Year, I think, David Spade on Netflix. And I
was
like, okay, I can do like Happy Madison production. I can watch that sort of thing. And I like David Spade, but he had a Boston accent, or at least I think he had a Boston accent. I'm not really sure. And it was just awful. I just feel so bad for them. It's like they peaked a while back and now it's just not going so well for anyone.
What did the nephew play in that
he
movie?
He was like a friend. He did like the physical comedy of the movie, so he was a friend of David Spade's son.
I want to say I've seen that movie, but it's hard to say it because I started watching it and I thought, okay, what can I do while watching this? And so I ended up playing video games while watching it, so I can't really say I watched it because that's the kind of movie it is.
It is.
You really, after 5 minutes, I realized what I was into. I was like, yeah, I really don't know why I even continued watching it. That point,
it's
I should just shut
background
off.
Noise is what I like to call movies like that. You can go do the dishes, you can go cook dinner and have it on in the background, and you'll not miss anything.
Go to the grocery store, go to the mall, go to work.
That's just cruel to leave it on for like your dogs or something like that. Like, just punishment. Don't do that. Really, it's awful. I love my dogs too much to leave it on when I'm home. All right, so I wanted to ask you about some stuff that's been going on, although I don't know when this is going to... Yeah, okay, I can talk about it. Did you see that the Nun trailer got banned from YouTube? They took it down because it was too scary?
What? I didn't even know the Nun trailer was out.
Well, okay, so they
have
the official trailer, which is, you know, like a long couple-minute trailer, and then they had this six-second jump scare that they were doing for an advertisement in front of YouTube videos, and they had to take it down because so many people were complaining. And you could probably like Google and watch it. What it is, it's just a black screen, and then they have the little like sound icon, and it's going like lower and lower, so you're thinking, oh, the sound's going lower, and then all of a sudden the nun appears and makes like a horrible sound, and then that's it. It's like the nun, and then that's it. So it's like 6 second quick jump scare. And people were saying that they just want to watch videos, and all of a sudden they have to be faced with this traumatic nun, like, jumping out at them. So YouTube has removed that short 6 second jump scare.
Wow. Well, I get it, though. It's one thing to click on the Nun trailer and want to see it. It's another to have it foisted upon you, and you're not even suspecting it.
I watched it. It is a jump scare. It comes out of nowhere. And I could totally see why people would be really angry, especially young people. Like, if a teenager or a kid is watching a video and that comes out, check it out right now. It's just a quick little thing. But when you're not expecting it, yeah. But some people were getting a little, I mean, they were getting a little extreme about it, about how traumatic it is for them. But I agree that they take it off.
Well, maybe they didn't like the religious implications. It is titled
Do you really? Name. You think that's what it is?
I think most people are offended about that.
They couldn't handle the 2 seconds that the nun appeared with, like, her weird, gross, creepy face.
That's not how the nuns at my high school were. I don't. This is completely false. I need to report this.
Oh, my gosh.
To YouTube.
I forgot that you went to a weird high school.
There were no nuns at my high
school. But you still went to a weird one. Yeah,
I mean, technically, yes. Weird, yes.
But, yeah, the movie, the trailer looks really good. I actually really want to see that movie. But, yeah, I just found out today that YouTube had to take down the 6-second jump scare. It does.
It makes sense. I mean, really, you can't just throw that at people.
No,
unsuspecting.
No. It is. Yeah, it's.
On the upside, though, it probably gets people more interested in that movie when you have an ad in your movie. It's like, oh, I got to see that ad.
There's a buzz on Twitter. Everyone's talking about it. So I think it did its job, regardless.
I'm going to have to check it out. You been watching anything? Oh, wait. Do we need to talk about our movie next week? Unveil so people can get excited.
Well, next week we're stepping up. We're stepping up from Adam Sandler to another male protagonist legacy in Hollywood, to the amazing, the wonderful, the mystical, the charismatic Nicolas Cage. Woo! That's my excited sound. And we.
You really sold it.
Listen, let me try it again. Oh, yeah. Okay. Next week, we will be watching Nicolas Cage in his grand debut as an assassin with a heart in Bangkok Dangerous. Woo!
Yeah.
I like him.
Did this movie come out in theaters? Do you know if it came out in theaters? Because it just seems like a DVD.
I think you're being a little harsh. I don't think Nicolas Cage has movies that go straight to DVD. They at least stay in the theaters for like a weekend or two. This might have not been out there long, but he does not make DVD, straight-to-DVD movies.
Well, no, I don't think any actor sets out to do that. But like Jean-Claude Van Damme, he had a very short peak, and then everything he made was straight-to-DVD. I don't think I don't think that was his grand plan. Like, he didn't chart that out. It just kind of happened. Nicolas Cage, he's stayed within the realm for a long time.
Well, this one's going to be a good one, of course, because he is an assassin who grows a conscience, which, of course, we've never seen in any movie ever. So it's going to be fantastic. Looking forward to Nicolas Cage movies. I love Nicolas Cage. He's like a guilty pleasure for me. Like, if I see Face Off on TV, I have to watch it. I drop whatever I'm doing and have to watch it.
Face Off, I agree with. I mean, Nicolas Cage in general, it kind of depends, because when he's in a movie, he's either crazy, which has a certain allure to it, or he's bored. And you're like, oh, this movie is garbage. If Nicolas Cage can't even get excited about it.
You know what movie I watched, though? I just recently watched National Treasure because it's on Netflix. And, you know, it's like a kid-friendly movie. And so I was watching it with a little 10-year-old. And it was actually pretty cool. I mean, it was awful dialogue and everything. But that was Nicolas Cage being kid-friendly and exciting and the hero and finding treasure. I forgot he even did those movies. I mean, those were Disney movies that he did. That was pretty cool.
I mean, they were capitalizing on the market at the time, you know, because it was right around the Da Vinci Code and you had all this stuff about conspiracies in the world. And I mean, I believe in National Treasure, a fact-based pseudo-documentary, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, the Declaration of Independence obviously has a hidden, invisible map on the back that you just need a little lemon juice and heat to discover. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And in Nicolas Cage, isn't he like Ben Franklin's grandson or great-nephew or some? In their relation? He's related to somebody.
I think he's related, or he was a Mason, I guess, in the part of that secret society. I don't know if he was, like, part of his blood, but I don't even remember, and I just watched it. But it was still really good and entertaining, despite the fact that I don't remember the storyline.
Yeah, that's obviously a winner, when you don't remember anything about it.
I think those are the best movies, just in and out. They entertain for the 2 hours they're meant to entertain, and then my mind can be blank and ready for the next awesome movie.
That's Nicolas Cage's slogan. Yeah, when he's in the movie, oh yeah, I'm in and out. I will show up on set. I'm out as fast as possible. Give me that paycheck. I'm done.
Yeah, pretty much. But so yeah.
When his movies in the theater, they're in the theater. They're out of the theater very quickly.
True.
You watch them. They're in. They're out
it's
very
true.
Quickly.
But he's done so many awesome movies. I feel like we could have just a Nicolas Cage podcast of just watching all of his movies and critiquing them, because he's just done so many bad movies that I absolutely love. Like, Con Air, I would put in that category, because I just love it. Face Off, I would put in that category. Even like Wicker Man, it's just ridiculous, but I can't stop. It's like a train wreck. I just can't look away when he's on screen. I mean, because he's just so super hot with all that weird hair stuff he's got going on. And
he puts in the work. He's all, there's always a Nicolas Cage movie coming out, always.
I think you're right. Well, Bangkok Dangerous will be the one for us. You're welcome.
You say that now. We'll see next week.
Maybe you're going to probably be like that I can't pick any more movies from now on. I'm just torturing you. I actually have been looking to try to find a movie that got bad ratings that is legitimately good so we can kind of have a break and watch a good movie. But it has been a mission resulting with failure. I haven't been able to really find one that's bad.
Yeah, I tried to come up with some and all of them are rated too high. To make
what
the
I
cut.
Do think we should do is have a Spoil Your Childhood podcast, like, month where you and I figure out the movies that we liked when we were kids, which I am certain are probably low-rated movies, and then we can review them. And I'm sure watching them as an adult, because one of my favorite movies as a kid was Clueless with Alicia Silverstone and Paul Rudd, and I watched that movie 1,000 times, and I was just thinking about it, and there's so much drugs and sex, and Alicia Silverstone ends up with her stepbrother, who's Paul Rudd. Like, they end up together. And at the time, I had no thoughts about that. I thought it was a very awesome movie. But as an adult, that's somewhat deeply disturbing. So
that's how Beverly Hills works. I didn't know.
So I feel like that would be fun to do. And then if
it's rated too high, though. It's a 6.8 on IMDb.
Oh my gosh, I'm actually very surprised by that.
But I do have to refute something you said. You said we need to ruin our childhoods because the movies we liked as kids were terrible. Not true in my case. My three favorite movies as a kid, Ghostbusters, yes. Excellent movie. Big Trouble in Little China, okay. Which I want to come back to in a minute. Excellently rated. And Terminator 1 and 2.
That's disturbing that those were your favorite movies as kids. I mean, were your parents deeply worried about you and your development? Because those are some scary movies.
I feel like if they let me watch those movies, they probably weren't too worried about my development. Because they obviously weren't worried about what I was watching.
No, they very much weren't. Oh my gosh. That actually explains a lot of your Halloween costumes and shenanigans. Yeah.
Done it, though.
Because for people like Ward, will have to post some stuff because he has done some really elaborate, scary stuff around Halloween. So that part of you as a child that was traumatized and equally excited by watching Terminator comes out in October in very creepy, disturbing ways.
Well, this October will not be scary.
All right, you're going...
I mean, it really won't be. I mean, I guess potentially it could be scary, but I don't see how.
Oh, okay. All right.
I'll let the cat out of the bag. I mean, it's big. Okay. It's big, yeah. Fortnite.
What is that?
Oh, man. You don't know what Fortnite is?
Is it like a show or a thing? What is it?
It's a video game. It's the biggest video game in the world right now.
I don't do video games. I don't know.
But you have a kid, right? Your kid doesn't do video games either?
Is this a scary one? Oh, Fortnite is an online video game created in 2017 and released as different... Blah, 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 blah. What is this? I'm watching a little trailer. Is it like a Sims type of thing?
It's a shooter, third-person shooter.
Oh.
But it's not bloody and gory. It's a little bit more cartoony.
Kid-friendly shooting.
I mean, as kid-friendly shooting as you can get.
Okay, all right. You know, I've never heard of it. I'm not really in that world, unfortunately, so.
Yeah, but I'm surprised you've not heard of that because it's been everywhere.
No, I'm really, nope. I know so many people who love video games. Nope. So you're going to be a character from it?
Yeah. My son and I both, we're both going to be characters.
Oh, that's so cool. That's exciting. You guys did that last year, right? He was, it was like a Zelda thing? Or was that just for fun? I remember you, someone being Zelda or something like that.
We looked like we had matching costumes. They were not. He was Zelda, and I was Angor Rot from the TV show Troll Hunters, a Netflix original.
You know, I love this because you guys do stuff like that. Last year, I was a slice of pizza. My son was a hot dog, and my dog was a taco.
Hey, it works.
We're doing that. Yeah. I think this year, he wants to be a potato, and we found food costumes. We have two dogs now, so they're each going to be a cheeseburger and a pizza slice, and then I think I'm going to be in the hot dog costume this year. Or a drink. Right. I was a soda can one year, and my kid was a Chipotle burrito. So
really big on the food costumes.
We are really big on the food aspect. It's one night where we could be literally anything in the world,
and you want to be food,
and I pick a soda can, and he picks a Chipotle burrito. I feel like that says something about us.
You can be anything in the world you want tonight. I want to be a slice of pizza. You got it.
Oh I know. Well, I love that you dress up as an adult. I just been an adult. And if anyone's listening and they dress up for Halloween, please tell me or show a picture on Twitter at Box Office Refund and let us know what you dress up as. Because it's fun.
I'll have to share some of my pictures.
Oh, for sure. Oh, my gosh. You get so elaborate with your costumes.
Yeah, I get too elaborate. You know, last year, it was a good costume. Like, anybody would say it's a good costume. Great. But from my vantage point, it was halfway done.
I know. You're way too, like, a perfectionist when it comes to this sort of stuff. You are just over the top on some of your stuff. But it looked great.
Well, last year's costume, I'd never done it. I built, like, a muscle suit. I was 8 feet tall.
Yeah, so cool.
And I wanted it, because it's based on a cartoon, but I wanted it to look more realistic. So I was going to do kind of like this lizard skin all over it.
Oh, wow.
With like latex and rubber, you know, rubber and stuff. And yeah, that just takes a long time. I'd never done it, so I didn't know what I was getting into. And I was like, oh, yeah, I'll finish it after Halloween. Well, you know what? It's a year later. I haven't finished it.
So what I did, one day. I got a poster board and I wrapped it around and I stapled it together. And then I got aluminum foil and I wrapped that around and then I made a straw with poster board. So that was...
Hey, I like it. That is more than a lot of people
do.
I mean, it drives me crazy when I see people just like these store-bought costumes that just look sad.
I don't like... I will say, I mean, if you do store-bought costumes, that's totally fine. That's what for you do. But like in my house, I am very against store-bought costumes. I mean, if someone wanted it, I would buy it for them. That's fine. But Halloween is so fun, and you could be so creative. Just go around the house and figure out what you have and make a costume. Like, that is what I love so much about it. So we do... I don't think we've bought a store-bought costume. I think every costume we've made at home, which is so much fun.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, my son, he's spoiled. He does not realize that not every parent spends lots of money on costumes. Like last year, he was Link from The Legend of Zelda. He had real chainmail.
Oh,
you know, he had a sword.
Awesome.
Like, he had the whole deal.
Fantastic.
It looked legit.
Yeah.
He doesn't realize.
He is spoiled rotten with Halloween stuff.
He doesn't even know it,
Oh,
though.
My gosh. Doesn't he look around and see, like, little kids with sheets over their heads and be like, obviously something is amiss? Like, my dad has a weird obsession.
Daddy, are those kids poor? What's wrong with them? I don't know. I don't know what he thinks. I have to ask him.
Your poor child. You're setting him up for disappointment later in life, like when he can't live up to his expectations, you know? Like, one day you're going to stop all of this. Like, you're going to be too old or too tired or something, or you're going to have sawed off all your fingers or something and not be able to
Thank
do
you
it.
For that. Appreciate it.
He's just going to be, like, so sad that he can't do it anymore.
Well, yeah, at that point, he can carry on that tradition. But the good thing it is, I've been so many scary things every year that he sees scary stuff. It doesn't even faze him.
That's really, you know, the same thing with mine, because I write scary stories and I talk about it all the time and it doesn't even faze him anymore. Like, he'll give suggestions, very dark, twisted, disturbing suggestions. And it's like, all right, we'll take you to therapy and I'll take that suggestion and put it in my story.
So I mentioned Big Trouble in Little China. I wanted to circle back to that because I had the opportunity of a lifetime. And that is not hyperbole. I saw Big Trouble in Little China. It came out in 1986. I saw it in the theater last week.
Ooh, that's exciting. How did you end up doing that?
My local theater, they do a flashback week or Wednesday or something. Mm. So every Wednesday they show an older movie.
Cool.
And it had to be Big Trouble in Little China. And it's just one of those movies that I was too young to see in the theater when it came out. And I finally got to see it in the theater now.
That must have been really cool.
There's like, there are about three movies growing up that's like, man, I wish I could have seen those in the theater. And after having seen that, I've done that. It was Ghostbusters, Big Trouble, and then Indiana Jones and Raiders of the Lost Ark. I wanted to see all those in theater. I finally completed it.
Wow. So now you have no more goals in life. Awesome.
I'm sure I'll develop new ones.
I've seen that movie. I've only seen it once, I think, on TV. I have to get more into it because I don't even remember really what's going on. But it has a huge cult following, so I'm excited. The next time it comes on TV, I'll definitely watch it.
I mean, I'm a big fan of it. It's a very good movie, but I tried to sell a couple friends on it last year. They watched it. They did not see the magic in it, which disappointed me.
It's time to get new friends is what that means.
Well, they're the people that used to podcast
with me. Oh, well, there you go. They're not
podcast me with me anymore. So, you know, they're gone.
That was your litmus test, you know? You have to ask people.
You don't like the movies
Boom.
I like? You don't podcast with me. It's done.
I saw a movie this week called Cube. Have you seen that movie?
Cube.
You would like it.
Is it? It's an indie. Like, they're in a cube, right? Man, that movie is a trip. Yeah, that's a cool movie. I'm not sure if I liked it or not, but I remember it being a heck of a trip.
Yeah, it was in 97.
Isn't there a guy? There's like a guy that is good with numbers, but he seems...
Yeah.
Mentally incapable. Like, it's a couple people. There's a Yeah, it's all these traps and all this stuff.
Those are movies I really like. I like movies where there's only one setting and it's character-driven, psychological thriller-type movies. So, yeah, I'd seen that on Netflix for a while and I checked it out and it was really good. I enjoyed it a lot. And then they have a second one and a third one, which is supposed to be the prequel. But I don't know if I'm going to watch those. I feel like they might not live up to the expectations. Especially the second one. The second one looks just like...
Isn't that Hypercube?
The Hypercube one, I believe it is... Yeah, I think you're right. And then Cube Zero, I think, is the one that circles back.
I saw Hypercube. The only thing I remember about it is that I did not like it.
See,
at
I don't.
All.
Yeah,
that's all I remember.
Because I looked at like the trailer and the preview, and it looks identical to the first one. And if it's just going to be them killing each other off one by one, and like one person surviving, if it's the exact same plot, I'm going to be very disappointed.
I don't remember. I would say it's worse. I just remember it being bad. And I liked the first one. The first one's a cool. It's just one of those mind trick movies that. You got to see it once.
Yeah, for sure. I always am interested in the ending, and I'm glad that somebody actually lived. I thought that was just a nice, happy, well, happy-ish ending to it.
Who lived? Who was it, the girl
no,
or the
no,
guy?
No, the guy, the one. They called him mentally, not incapable or...
Challenged?
In the movie, I think that's exactly their wording, mentally challenged. But it's clearly autism, and I just wondered, because it was in 97, why they... did that? I was like thinking, man, is somebody watching that movie who has autism, and to have them call it mentally challenged was like a slap in the face. Like, that was my only thing. But it was 97, and I don't know if people were very aware of autism as they are now.
Well, I mean, again, it's been a long time since I've seen it, but at first, there's no indication he was autistic, right? They didn't discover until later that he actually was autistic as far as numbers
go,
right?
Well, in my mind, it was pretty obvious because he didn't like certain colors. He needed... like certain sounds bothered him. So for me, it was very, very obvious. But you're right. It wasn't until later that he showed that he was like a genius with large numbers.
Because isn't he the one that technically figured it out and helped whoever escape?
Yeah, exactly. He was the one who could figure out the prime numbers of these massive numbers that nobody else basically in the world could have done, is what the mathematician girl said. So he is the one that saved them. And he is the one that lived. So spoiler for that. Oh, shoot! We weren't supposed to do spoilers on the B-side. We were supposed to tell people in advance and then spoil things after. Sorry, guys. But I mean, it's a 97 movie.
Can't you just edit that around? Just cut it, put it in the back of the episode.
I'm just going to have like I'll split it in right there. I'll put the promo in and then I'll be like, and now for some spoilers. Or not.
I mean, then again, it's a 20-year-old movie.
Yeah, it is a 20-year-old movie. But it's on Netflix now, so like I just discovered it for the first time. You know what? I'll put it in the description that there's some spoilers. It will be okay. Sorry, guys. Sorry.
Because my thought is always that it's not the destination, it's the journey. Like, I can tell you the spoiler, but it doesn't really mean anything until you see that journey of how you get
there.
That
is true. I would still watch it even knowing the ending. Because you know going into a movie like that, everyone's either going to die or you're going to have a very low survivor rate. Like, that's just the type of movie it is.
Arguably, the bigger spoiler is not that the guy lives. It's that we told them he's actually really good with numbers and saves the day. That's the big spoiler there.
Man, we are terrible at this.
All right, you've got a lot of editing to do. Good luck with that.
Nope, I'm not editing anything. This is all going in as is. Oh, I'm so, so sorry. All right, so are there any movies or something you watched that you want to spoil for everybody? You saw The Meg, didn't you?
Yeah, I watched... I did.
Oh,
I saw The Meg.
See it so bad.
And yeah, I had low expectations, but I really enjoyed that movie. I mean, it's kind of tropey.
Oh, sure.
I don't want to say B-movie, but like one of the first scenes, I love it. They're like, hey, this submarine's trapped. There's only one man that can do it. No, not him. Didn't he kill a bunch of people? We can't do it. We have to. He's the only one. And then, like, they build it up. I'm like, I know it's going to be. I know it's going to be Jason Statham. And it's so silly, but man, it's fun. Like, I like stuff like that because the movie realizes it's being a little silly.
Oh, for sure.
And the shark, all the action scenes with the shark, they are awesome. I mean, they nailed it. Your blood's pumping. You're excited.
Oh, my
gosh. I like the premise for this. I mean, a few people call the premise silly, but I don't know. I liked it. And the premise is that the Marianas Trench, the deepest part of the ocean... What if that wasn't the deepest part of the ocean? What if the floor of the Marianas Trench is not a floor? You know what? I'm like, I like that. That's cool.
Yeah, for sure. Oh my gosh, I have to go see it before it leaves movie theaters. I want to see it on the big screen because I'm just so excited about seeing it. It's gotten mixed reviews from people that I follow, like on Twitter and movie reviewers. But I think you're right. Like, I think you have to go into it knowing which, you know, it's not going to be some epic Steven Spielberg movie. It's going to be fun, shark movie.
Exactly.
I can't wait. Fun. I love shark movies like that, so I'm very excited.
Fun fact, I know there are 4 jump scares in the movie because for the first 3, the same woman screamed very loudly every time, which actually was kind of fun.
Awesome. I can't wait to see it. I'm so excited.
Yeah, ton of fun. I also saw, this is an older movie. I want to say 93. I may be off a year or two, but it's called The Remains of the Day. Anthony Hopkins, Emma Thompson. Yeah, I'll just add random things to my Netflix. That came in. Just a really neat movie. It's set in the 1930s, cuts back to the 50s. Anthony Hopkins is a butler. Mm. I definitely recommend it. One of the better movies I've seen in quite a while. Very good movie. It's a challenging movie. It's a lot of depth to it. It's one of those that you really have to watch it and think about it. But it's a cool movie. I definitely recommend it.
It looks
great
like
movie.
It has Superman in it. Christopher Reeves?
Yeah, Christopher Reeves is in it. Nice. He is... Not
Jack
the
Lewis.
I don't know. Anthony Hopkins works for him later. Like,
okay.
Anthony Hopkins is the butler for one guy in the 30s, and in the 50s, he's the butler for Christopher Reeve.
Oh, cool. All right. I usually don't like historical movies, honestly.
I wouldn't really call
like
it historical setting.
Yeah, I don't literally love that.
But it's really a drama. It's a relationship movie. It's kind of the un-romance movie. Because, you know, in the romance, the characters always get together, and in this...
Are you about to spoil it? Wait, what are you doing? Stop.
No. Yeah, I'll leave it there. Very cool movie.
Although, like you said, it is probably 20 years old, so maybe. But it might be new to somebody, so.
But it's just a movie that, it doesn't actually spell everything out to you in the movie. Like, after it ends, you think, okay, this guy acted like this, maybe because of this, maybe because of that. It makes you think. Like, few movies, like The Meg, I didn't leave that thinking, what was that character's motivation?
No, that's not a type.
That doesn't happen
no,
with The Meg.
For sure.
Remains of the Day is very big on that. And you just think, oh, wow, you know, like, what... What happened? What could have happened? Why is this guy like that? It's very cool. Anthony Hopkins, Emma Thompson, I mean, they slay.
Of course.
Great job.
Oh my gosh. Those are two of the best. Two of the legends. They don't do anything wrong.
They
oh my
it.
Gosh. That's good. That's awesome.
And that is pretty much all I've watched.
Yeah, as far as movies, that's all. Do you have any guilty pleasure TV shows that you watch every week? Any like Housewives of Orange County or any My 600 Pound Life? Any type of shows like that that are guilty pleasures?
I mean, there's the only shows I watch weekly are HBO shows. I don't have cable. I don't have broadcast.
Brag.
I don't have any of that.
What do you... So wait, you have Netflix, you have Amazon Prime, and you have HBO.
And I have HBO.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Don't even have broadcast.
Oh, I'm just wondering what your life is like. Like, in my head, I'm just like, what do you guys do?
Do you want me to jot you down an itinerary?
Yeah, I would like you to give me, like, a minute-to-minute rundown of your life at night. Like, just what do you guys do? That sounds so bad for me, because I just feel like we watch a lot of TV. The TV is on at night quite frequently. Because it's good relaxing, you know? Like, what do you do? I know you're not reading books. I think we've already established that.
What a burn. You know, I'm going to circle back to that. I'm circling back to that, actually. But I
read 2 books this week. How many books did you read this week?
I'm going to circle back to that. But first, we're talking about what happens at night. Generally, there are 2 TVs going, because I have a TV. My son, he either has a tablet or a TV. My wife usually reads.
Oh, see?
My son
nice.
And I may play video games. So, you know, we keep it busy. And honestly, half the night every week, one of us is gone, my wife or I.
Yeah.
We're busy people.
Busy people, for sure.
But I'm going to come back to reading, since that seems to be a hot topic. I can't say I've read 2 books. I can't say I've read 1 book this week. But I have read half a book this week.
Ooh, very nice.
Yeah. I'm halfway into Kurt Vonnegut's The Cat's Cradle.
Okay, I've read that one. That's a good one. That's a good choice for a Kurt Vonnegut book. Very nice.
Well, then, you know, the cool thing is, I bought my wife, I think it's called Kindle Prime.
Yep.
You know, Kindle's Amazon's reader thing. So it gives you access to a ton
yeah.
of books. Mm-hmm. And so I like to read a little bit every night, but I've just, all the books I've had, I run out of. So I'm reading books that are just fictional, you know, like Better Call Saul, like Jimmy McGill's How to Be a Criminal book. It's not written by him. It's just kind of goofy. I was reading this Philip K. Dick biography. But it would say things like, oh, see this picture of Philip K. Dick? I don't know what's happening in this picture, but maybe he was happy in this picture. Maybe he liked his dad. Like, this is a biography. You can't say maybe. You can't make up things about the guy's life. That's not a biography. This is That's fiction. True. So I just read a lot of books like that. They're just goofball. So I remember my wife had Amazon Prime. I thought, you know, I wonder if there's any books on there that would interest me. And it just so happens there are.
Yeah, that's what I do. I read a lot. And then I review a lot, so I got to read a book that was up for review. It was really awesome. And then I read some horror books. This month on Instagram, the Ladies of Horror are doing an Instagram challenge, and every single day you post a picture of a horror book based on a theme. And so I've learned a lot about women fiction horror writers, and I've been reading a lot of those books. And yeah, so that's been keeping me pretty busy.
So do you read primarily horror? Do you read other things?
I read a lot of horror because that is what I write and what I review for. But I also, for like relaxation, if I want to get out of that, I do a lot of Chuck Palahniuk and Kurt Vonnegut. And then maybe I tap back into romance. I was really into romance books when I was in college, but just to like relax the brain a little bit, I might do something like that. My guilty pleasure reading books, and I'm a little embarrassed to say it, are the Conan series. Because they're...
Like Conan the Barbarian?
Conan the Barbarian. I own a lot of those books, a lot of those short stories. Because they're just ridiculous. I mean, they're racist and sexist and awful, but they're also just, they're like watching a terrible movie. So that's why I enjoy them.
I mean, how big is that series? I knew it was a movie. I'm not sure I knew it was a book. Is it a series that's still going?
No, people have started to write Conan books on their own. So, you know, they have the dude who wrote them. I can't think of his name right now. And then other people kind of took over. So there's lots of Conan stories in the world.
Didn't Sir Arthur Conan Doyle write Conan? Isn't that how that got started?
I think. He was the Sherlock Holmes guy.
Yeah, but didn't he do both? He needed a break.
I don't know.
From
I do
Holmes.
Read a lot of Sherlock Holmes too when I want to relax. Those are really good stories. I enjoy those a lot.
Can I have a moment to rant?
Oh, I do enjoy rants, please.
I've probably ranted about this before, but you know, this is the gift that keeps on giving as far as rants go. Have I talked about MoviePass before?
Yes, and it's still a hot topic. I still see people ranting about it. Please, what's your latest rant?
I believe I mentioned they ran out of money. They came up with a new plan. They came out with a newer plan. And so now what they do is that instead of, you know, it used to be I'd sign in the MoviePass app and I could pick any movie I wanted because I bought a movie a day and that's what they give me. So I still have a movie a day because I'm grandfathered in because I, at this point, maybe mistakenly purchased a year subscription. I'm not sure I'm going to get a full year out of it at this point. But so now, like last week, my options were Slenderman every day. Mm. Don't want to see Slenderman. So now they've changed it to where they give me an option of two movies. One day this week, it was a movie I'd already seen and a 3D version of a movie that I can't see because MoviePass does not support like the 3D stuff. So getting a lot of value out of MoviePass.
They gave you a movie that they don't even allow you to see? That's,
yep. Thank you, MoviePass.
That's terrible.
Yeah, they're really delivering.
You know what? It's such a good idea, though. I'm sure someone will fix it. Like, I'm sure this is not the last we've seen of this concept.
Well, AMC has done it better. Because I was talking to a friend, and we're talking about MoviePass, and he was saying, well, he couldn't understand why they were failing so hard. He's like, well, you know, they buy your ticket, but they have a deal with the theater. I said, no, they don't have a deal with distributors or anything. They're paying full price for the ticket. And he said, oh, no wonder they're failing. That's stupid. I was like, exactly, that's the problem.
Yeah, obviously.
I mean, because I pay $10 a month.
Yeah.
One ticket is $8. They're paying full price for that. I'm averaging four movies a month. I believe their concept was, well, you know, it's like a gym membership. People aren't going to use it, right? Wrong. It's a little different from a gym membership. People like going to the movies. They don't like going to the gym.
Wow. I didn't realize that was their plan. Of course they're going to run out of money.
Yeah.
Oh.
Because AMC has a similar service, but AMC, they own the theater, so they're making money off concessions.
Right.
You know, they're making that money back. MoviePass has no such plan, no such option.
Gosh.
They're just burning money.
I feel so bad for them. That's so sad. It reminds me of that episode of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia where they did, like, they went to Dave and Buster's and thought it would be such a good idea if they had their own little Dave and Buster bucks. Do you watch that show?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
I like
it's
that
so
show
great. And so they handed out their own bucks, figuring that they would make some sort of profit, and they lost all of their money because they didn't know how it works. They just gave people money, free money. Sounds like what they're doing. They're letting you just take their money and use it, and there's no revenue.
Much.
Like, that's... Oh my, I'm mad for them. That's just a terrible business plan. Oh my gosh.
It was a short-sighted plan.
It was. I don't know how they expected that to be successful. But hopefully someone will, you know, adjust it. Because it's a good idea. Movies are expensive.
Well, AMC has a competing service, and that, you know, that's going to work. But, you know, the problem is with this limiting me to two movies a day, it's like, oh man, if I see a movie I like, I feel like I've got to go. Because the service is going to end at any second. Like, I'm just waiting for them to say, we've run out of money again. Nobody will give us a loan because their stock actually is so low, and it's been so low for 3 weeks. It's going to get delisted in the next couple
weeks. Oh, my gosh. That's awful.
Yeah. And, you know, I was wondering, am I going to renew this next year? And then I realized, I don't have to worry about that. This company is not going to exist when that point comes.
They're not going to exist. A lot of people are going to be angry if they paid for, like, a year pass and they don't get their money. Like, what are they going to do? They just lose their money?
Nothing. You're out of luck.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
That sounds awful.
I mean, I paid for a year. I've definitely got my money's worth.
Yeah.
I mean, because at this point, I've paid, you know, each movie has cost me about high $3, low $4, which is a great deal. But at the end of the year, I would have been, if they continued in the year, I would have been like $2 a movie, which that is much more welcome than $3 or
$4. Oh my gosh, that's crazy. Wow. Yeah, that's terrible planning on their part. They really should have thought that one through.
Yeah, you know, what can you say? What can you do? They were hoping that they could take user data as far as what people see, how often people see it, and leverage that and sell it back to distributors and studios.
Oh, really?
Hadn't worked out yet.
Oh, I don't like that.
Anyway, that's my weekly rant about MoviePass. I'm sure they'll do something next week where I'll rant again.
We'll just keep doing it every week until they disappear. People rant all the time. I follow so many movie reviewers like on Twitter, and they're constantly ranting about this MoviePass. So there are a lot of people out there just like you who are very ticked off by this.
Well, yeah, it's especially infuriating when I paid for one movie every day, and then they're going to limit me to two, and one option is going to be a movie that I can't actually see at all.
You just have to go back to your HBO.
If I want to go to the theater, if only they had HBO in the theater, then I'd be set. You know, it's funny how I'm excited for Bangkok Dangerous just because of how much I hate The Week Of. You know, that movie makes anything look better.
Oh my gosh, I should have taken full advantage of that and picked the absolute worst movie. I should have challenged myself.
I think we've already done that. We watched The Week Of. We've watched the absolute worst.
I agree. Oh my gosh.
I mean, really, I've watched a lot of bad movies, and I just can't think of one that's that bad.
I know, right? Well, Ward, if people want to follow you on Twitter, if this is the first time they're listening and they don't know anything about you, what some plugs you want to send out into the universe so people can find you?
I have a project blog with wardworks.blogspot.com. I do home projects, fun projects, everything in between. It's a blast. You should check it out. I'm also on Instagram with Wardworks, where there's pictures of all those things. I do a lot of other stuff. I'm not sure I need to plug it. I'm not sure anybody cares. I'm just going to give you the important one that people actually like.
Your plugs crack me up every single time. You're just like, yeah, I don't know. It's fine. Whatever.
I will say I do a Netflix specific site, just Netflix originals, and that is crossnetflixstream.com. And I have to say, my Facebook traffic in the past 2 weeks has skyrocketed, like 1,000%.
1,000%. If you want to find me on social media and find out what I am doing, you can go to @NicoBellFiction, N-I-C-O Bell Fiction, and that is on Twitter or Instagram. And you can please follow us @BoxOfficeRefund. And I wanted to just sort of plug two short stories that I have out in the world. If you go to 101words.org and search for me, Nico Bell, you can read my Drabble, which is a 101-word story called Sweet Bianca. Or I have a Drabble, which is a 100-word story, in Drabble Dark Anthologies, which is an awesome book of, I believe, 100 Drabbles, and it's gotten really good reviews. It's about a 4 out of 5 review, so please check that out. All right.
I'm going to check it out. I'm going there right now.
I appreciate that. All right, guys. Well, listen, go ahead out there, watch Bangkok Dangerous, join us in our discussion about it. Thank you so much for listening, and we will see you next week.
Box. Office. Refund. Box Office Refund Podcast.